Okay, we're going to reconvene back into open session. Mr. Crawford, would you please lead us in the pledge? Okay, I have one announcement out of closed session on two matters regarding certificated employees that resulted in settlement agreements. The board unanimously approved the settlements, which include an immediate resignation for one and resignation effective the end of the school year for the second. I'll turn it over to Manbar for her student representative reports.
Hello, everyone. I will be reading the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts School Report. For school activities, MCAA had a positivity week from Monday, December 4th until Friday, December 8th. The purpose of this positivity week was to help motivate students to perform well on all their finals, which are taking place this week. There were games during lunch and other positivity activities. We had a holiday dragon fest on Friday, December 8th during lunch at MCAA's outdoor stage. Dragon fest is for MCAA students to perform for their school. We are having pajama week from Tuesday, December 12th through Friday, December 15th to relieve a bit of the stress that finals may cause for some students. The MCAA junior class is currently planning winter ball, which is scheduled for Saturday, January 20th. There was a dance recital on Friday, December 1st at the ASYCC. Music Week took place last week and was located at the South Auditorium. It consisted of performances from the MCAA piano, band, strings, songwriting, choir, and vocal tech departments. On Friday, December 8th, there was a performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Actor Studio at the South Auditorium. MCAA's Excel Club had a holiday toy drive, and some members also took a trip to the Marysville Care Home to perform festive songs for the elderly. MCAA's Environmental Club is currently having a recycling drive. The Fashion Club is planning a school-wide fashion show for spring semester in which they will create and showcase their own designs. Thank you.
And this is your last meeting with us, Manbar. So thank you so much for being here. And on behalf of the board, I'd like to read you the plaque that we would like to give to you as a bit of a remembrance of your time with us. And it says, thank you for your outstanding service to the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees, serving as a student representative for the first semester of the 2017-18 school year. Your willingness to attend the board meetings to update the Board of Trustees on activities at the various school sites is greatly appreciated. So we want to wish you all the very best in all of your future endeavors, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to our school reports from Browns Valley and Cordova Elementary.
Big note here that says speak very closely to the mic. And it's still not sounding well. Test. I'm
touching it. Hello.
Not that close.
That was a little too close. Okay. Good evening, members of the board, Dr. Todd, Mr. Carrion, and Mr. Hodson. I would like to begin by thanking you for the opportunity to showcase two amazing schools tonight, Browns Valley and Cordova Elementaries. And I would like to thank each of you for your ongoing support. Many of you, actually most of you, have visited our schools and have shared in the strong sense of pride that we feel every day. Both the Browns Valley and Hallwood communities are very involved in our schools, and through their dedication and commitment, we're able to sustain an environment that we feel very passionate about. It is through this shared support that our students will continue to be successful. Before I begin, I would like to thank those of you from our schools that have joined me here tonight. So thank you for being here. I didn't even really put out a big invitation. It's a really busy time of year, and I almost felt guilty asking people to give up another night. So the folks that are here somehow figured this out and came anyway. So thank you. I feel so lucky to work with each of you that are here. Thank you. And students, too, when you're here, and I know you'd rather be home. I've put together a slide presentation with the hope of capturing some of the great things that are happening at these two school sites. It's always better to be there in person, so please join us anytime and see for yourself just how amazing Browns Valley and Cordova schools really are. So I'm going to start. I don't see it, Dan.
I fixed it.
Lovely. Looks a little odd. Okay, so looks like a postcard, doesn't it? This is Cordova Elementary, and this is a list of our staff members. And I've been actually very vocal this year about our support staff. We have an incredible staff, an incredible support staff. Tony Vernier made some switches at my school sites this year, and I feel like really been thriving. So our support staff's incredible, our teaching staff's incredible, and our office staff is amazing as well. This is our mission at Cordova School. Every student matters, every moment counts. And it looks like a bumper sticker, and I think we might make some because I love it so much. And for our school, if you know much about Cordova School, it's a pretty unique population of students. So we have the very tight-knit Hallwood community, and then we also have lots of students who are there either on overflow or inter-district transfer. And it can be difficult at times because we have a lot of transient students who come in and out, but our staff is really dedicated to making sure that every student that comes through our doors knows that they matter and making the moments count, whether it's for one day or for a whole school year. So. Yay. So this is some other photos of just the physical environment at Cordova, and we had some upgrades, I would say, to the physical plant this year. And in the corner where you can see, that's my secretary's van out in the parking lot there, Miss Edna, who you can tell, though, that the parking lot's been repaved. It's kind of, I think there's a snowflake over mine here. I hope you can see it on this one. But the parking lot was repaved this summer. It was restriped, and it's beautiful. Before, it was a lot of lines going every different direction. So that was really nice. We got some new signage and made the quad look nicer for students as they return from summer this year. I want to highlight this is the new data that just came out last Thursday. And so I don't know how familiar everybody is with the 5x5 grid. This is new from CDE last year. And so I'm not going to try to explain this. Explain probably as little as I can to make it make sense. And so this, if you see the area in black that's circled with the balloon and the fireworks, that's the yellow square that contains Cordova Elementary. And so what that tells us, and so as we're looking at this data, we don't compare year to year. This is doing the comparison for us. So what that's showing us is that Cordova increased significantly by 15 or more points, and this is in English language arts. So that's definitely something to celebrate. We've talked about it a lot as a staff. We're very proud. Teachers are working really hard. They know that this is important, and we know our students are leaving probably
much more proficient than they're performing on tests. So we have some work to do to make sure that we're reflecting that in test scores. So this is a very celebratory moment for us. This is math. So the mathematics indicator shows us that Cordova increased again, and we're also in the yellow in this grid, which is great. So increased by 3 to less than 15 points. We'll take it. We would have even taken a maintained, but we're very happy to have increased in both. So I wanted to celebrate that publicly tonight, and I was hoping there'd be some teachers so I could embarrass them a little bit, but that's okay. I'm very proud and happy for them. This is attendance data, and this was important to me because it comes from the district monthly, and it gives everyone an idea of if we're getting our students to school. And so we know that we can't help them unless they're there. And for Cordova, which is highlighted in purple, we've had a couple of shout outs this year from the district, and I share those with teachers. The goal for elementary schools is 96% or above, and Cordova this year, the bigger grid is Cordova, so the one to the left, we've been above 96% all three reporting periods, and the last one we were at 97.6, which was higher than any other elementary, so that was something that was pretty amazing, and we're doing a lot of work to make that happen. Our attendance clerk is hosting a lot of incentive parties, and we're really working hard to get kids in seats and have them enjoy school. This is just a quick photo of a food drive that we did. It looked a lot bigger when I took that picture, but it's a lot of food for a small school, and so there's lots of boxes of macaroni and cheese and top ramen and all kinds of non-perishables, but the back of the bed seemed really full when we took it over to the church to donate, and students were really proud. They had a competition, and so I wanted to showcase that. I thought that was something fun we did this year. I also wanted to highlight this is the eclipse. So earlier in the year, we had the solar eclipse, and it was really scary to allow students to view this eclipse. I was extremely nervous. I was thinking, one mistake and something really bad could happen to a student's eyes, but we were so careful, and it was such a controlled environment, and students were educated so much beforehand. I'm so proud of this moment because our teachers took advantage of probably one of the best teachable moments of the whole year. And so our students were able to view the eclipse with safety glasses, or you can see Mr. Kistler in this picture had used a scope, and he had the green piece of paper he had reflected it onto the paper there. And then the other picture is somebody had taken through some sort of camera. So anyway, it was an amazing moment. Our students loved school that day. It was something I know they'll remember forever. I remember being a student at Linda School. I don't know when, sometime probably in the very early 80s, but I remember the teachers projecting an eclipse onto the handball court, and I don't know that I remember anything else about that whole year, probably not, but I remember that moment. So for me, I think it was really special to see this happening at both schools, and this is pictures of both Cordova and of Browns Valley. This I wanted to talk about just briefly, and I know when I was here at the district office before I was back at a school site, there were times when you just have to go to a school site to experience and be a part of this stuff so that you remember your purpose and know why you're here, and that's kind of why I'm sharing these things, because it takes all of us to make these things happen, and this was a really fun day for students as well. And this was after the wildfires up in the foothills. And so Browns Valley had been out of school for about a week. And that Friday, so this was Friday after the kids had missed school, they were so ready to come back. We just weren't ready to open again. But students were restless, parents were restless. And so at Cordova, we really quickly threw together an assembly, and we invited the Browns Valley students. And so we put Browns Valley and Cordova together that Friday and invited them, and we had donuts and an assembly, and the kids got to come back, and it was a really enjoyable day after a really tough week of lots of crying and tears. We had 4 students and a staff member lose homes at Browns Valley. So it was really nice to have people come together and just enjoy some fun times together. This I wanted to highlight, this is some flexible seating going on at Cordova in our kindergarten classroom, and we have some models there. Some of those kids are not kindergartners, but they're modeling the chairs. So this teacher has an interesting class this year, and she's got some students who need a little bit more help sitting still and finding ways to connect to the classroom and still be able to maybe move a little bit and be engaged. And so this is something that she's trying this year, and so far it's working extremely well. And I'm going to transition on to Browns Valley. And again, we share some of the same support staff at Browns Valley with Cordova, and so those employees share time between both schools. That would be like our psychologist and our resource teacher. And so, again, I just want to say the staff at this school as well is amazing, top-notch, incredible. This is our beaver mascot at Browns Valley. So we're the Browns Valley Beavers, and the beaver was introduced at the end of last year. And someone from the district office actually came out to help us out and be inside the beaver because everyone else had a role to play, and so we couldn't be inside the beaver costume. And I never thanked that person publicly or properly, really, and so I just wanted to give a shout out. I thought she might be here tonight, so she did a great dance on stage. I wish I had a video, but let you guess. So that's Jolie Carrion is inside the costume, and she actually spent quite a long time in a big refrigerator box that we had wrapped up. And so before the unveiling, we started to run behind, and she was inside the mascot costume, inside the box. And so I, you know, she made it, thank goodness. But I was so appreciative, and I wanted to make sure that I thanked her tonight. This is a logo that was created by Alicia Wright, fifth grade teacher at Browns Valley, and this is our mission, every student, every day. And so really, it's about all students can learn, and we're going to make sure all students achieve. And I will say, as we kind of embark on this PLC journey of professional learning communities, Browns Valley is really the epitome of a PLC. And I think they've been doing this work for years, and to be able to put a name to kind of what's been going on, I think that it's gratifying, and I think that it really justifies a lot of the hard work that they're putting in. So it's absolutely every student, every day. So professional learning communities, and I wanted to just bring this up because we're working really hard to get to a conference this year. We're one of the only schools, well, Cordova and Browns Valley and a couple other schools up in the hills. So we're working really hard to get to a conference this summer in June, and that's kind of our goal. Our next step as we continue along the path. And so I put this slide up because this was something that we talk about all the time, but really it's an ongoing process in which educators work collaboratively in reoccurring cycles of collective inquiry and action, and basically holding each other accountable and making sure that they're sharing data and making sure that it's happening every day. And so to a group of people who haven't attended a conference and don't really know, I've attended, and so I try to pass on the information, but I can say something to this group, and with the collaboration Wednesdays where everyone's coming together, this group takes off. They sit in the teacher's room, and they do this vertical articulation that would probably blow your mind if you just sat and listened for a minute. So I'd like to say about this group, they've really kind of taken even more ownership of the PLC process and are moving forward in an amazing way. So this is Browns Valley, and you can see, and the part I'd like to highlight, it's highlighted in pink or purple, and it says high. And so we've basically maintained our status in the high category. And so although there's some fluctuation, that's probably to be expected, and I don't think that we're happy about the way that it fluctuated this year, but we maintained the same category, so that's exciting. So this is ELA, and we're high category here, and we're also high category in mathematics, so that's something to celebrate. I know they're very proud. I think they're never happy enough. They always feel like there's more work to be done. So I just wanted to share real quickly, I'm not going to read this, but this was a message that came in over the bullying website, and I don't know, you've probably heard about this and you read about it, and I don't know how much you know about how it is kind of helping at our schools. So this is a way that parents or anybody actually can report bullying incidents, and this came through over the holidays. It was a relative that had come and spent time with one of our students, and so she had emailed and reported this, and it was important because we really don't have much of this happen at Browns Valley. The community's kind, the kids are very empathetic and compassionate, and so when it happened, this was someone who I don't know that I ever would have had a way to communicate with her at all. She lived out of state. She was here temporarily. She had heard something from her nephews and then reported it. So after the email came in, I was able to address it with teachers, and we found out that there was something going on, and we were able to put a stop to it, which was really neat. So I just wanted to share that tonight. These are things I think that kind of flutter in and flutter out, and we don't really get to see the follow-up all the time. This is some improvement to the Browns Valley, a little facelift in the front. I was able to work with Doug and Travis and kind of do some little facelift to the front, and that's our sign that was installed last year. And then this is our Veterans Day Assembly, and Browns Valley, I would say, does the most amazing Veterans Day Assembly, and it's really just not another day off for school for our students. They fully understand why we have the day off, and so it's a big deal, and the color guard comes from Beale, and I wanted to share that because it's a pretty powerful day for all students. And then moving into, Browns Valley, I would say it's known for kind of their fun assemblies and rallies, and people who don't even have students getting awards like to come. They do. They attend even if their student's not getting anything, just because it's so much fun. So this was one of our beginning of the year assemblies, and our teachers dressed up as babies. And then this one was important to me because I think that it really shows. These are some teachers that actually went to Let's Make a Deal, and of course they had to incorporate that back into what we do at school, and so they ran a whole Let's Make a Deal for students at school, and you can see that was an assembly we had, and they shared their experience and then allowed the students to kind of recreate those moments at school, which was amazing. And this is some art and theater work that just took place with a docent program out of Grass Valley. And then our amazing garden, I shared this last year. It's exceptional, and so it's worth sharing again. I think it's the best that I've ever seen in the district. So it's amazing the things that we're harvesting out of the garden. And this, the picture down in the bottom with the two women who had harvested, that was just in October sometime. We were still having food come out of the garden. And then the other pictures showcase our outdoor classroom, and that's what our garden is used for. And most recently we had a donation, Gregerson Greenhouses, he donated a greenhouse so that we're able to expand and have an outdoor classroom that we can use during the winter as well. We have a lot of ongoing projects, so that was a donation, and that's something we're very thankful, so I wanted to thank him as well. And I think that's it. So thank you. I appreciate your ears. And if you have any questions. All right.
So actually not a question, but just a comment. You had mentioned earlier about utilizing the eclipse as a teachable moment. And I remember the day that I came to Cordova. It was not long after the students had went to the rodeo. Oh, yeah. And the classroom that we visited was actually utilizing that as a writing exercise for a teachable moment. And I think it's so important that we can relate these activities back to those teachable moments. So I think that's wonderful that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, on that note, I'll take 30 more seconds, but I promised the students in our second grade classroom that I would hand deliver tonight. I told them that the first opportunity I had where I could present, they had written some letters to Dr. Todd, and so I was going to hand deliver these. I told them that I was coming to a board meeting tonight, but they had written some they've really kind of started a grassroots activist type, another teachable moment. And so they are working really hard, and they've drafted some letters, and the teacher had included one as well. Sophie, would you mind taking these up to Dr. Todd for me? So in your spare time, Dr. Todd, you can fix all the problems of the world. Thank you.
I got a comment. Ashley, it's very obvious your heart and soul is in that school, and I feel a sense of pride watching you grow up from a little bitty girl to where you're at today, growing up with my daughter. And you're an amazing administrator. You really inspire that staff, and I hear a lot from the communities because I know the Foothill communities. And so you're to be congratulated, as all our principals. It's a very hard job today, and you, along with our others, do a great job. So congratulations for all you're doing up there.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury, I appreciate that.
Ashley, as well, I would just like to say thank you so very much for all that you do. I've had the pleasure and an opportunity to visit your school a couple of times, but also as well to see you where you are now from when you were in school as a young lady at Yuba Gardens. I'm very, very happy to see you be where you are right now.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Todd to preside over the election of the president.
Thank you very much. Since we do this only once a year, I'm going to kind of remind us all of the process for nominating officers. First, there is not a second to nominate a person to stand for election, so you may nominate the person. And no one else needs to say anything else. After each nomination, the board member nominated, I will ask them whether they accept or decline. A motion is not made to close nominations. We're not quite as formal with this part. After all the nominations have been made and the person nominated accepts or declines the nomination, then a motion for the first nominated candidate will take place. This is highly technical, that's why I have it written down. The first nomination that receives the majority vote in the affirmative is elected to the position, and no further votes will be taken on the remaining nominations. Shall we do one together? No, I'm teasing. I would love to walk you through the process for the election of the president of the board for the 17-18 school year, or the remainder. Actually, I guess it's for 18. Yeah. So at this point, we'll begin with the election of president, and I will open the floor for nominations for president.
I nominate Randy Rasmussen.
So Randy Rasmussen was nominated by Mr. Fleury. Do you accept or decline?
I would accept.
Okay. Are there other nominations for president? Mr. Rasmussen has been nominated to serve as president. Do I have a motion for Mr. Rasmussen to become president?
I'll make that motion.
Oh. Motion is by Mr. Boom.
And a second.
And a second by Mr. Crawford. It's moved and seconded that Mr. Rasmussen serve as president of the board. Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Anyone opposed? The motion passes, and Mr. Rasmussen, you are now the new president of the board. So you're going to switch seats with Mr. Boom, and you get to complete the election of officers.
Looks like Lisa had a concerned look.
Did everyone raise their hand?
Yes.
That's my question. I couldn't see.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Everyone but Mr. Rasmussen, excuse me.
Yes.
He's neutral on it, apparently. Would you like to register a vote, Mr. Rasmussen? Now that it's unanimous. So here's the Vice President will take nominations.
First, I would just like to thank Mr. Fleury and the rest of the board for this nomination and honor. And I would like to thank Mr. Boom for his guidance over the past years. So thank you. So next, we're going to move into the nominations for Vice President. Do we have any nominations for Vice President?
Mr. Crawford.
Did I write this too? Or are you just right? You're right? Okay. Oh, okay. I was trying to adjust my chair. It almost fell over. Thank you. Do we have any other nominations for Vice President?
Is he accepted?
Oh. Mr. Crawford, do you accept?
I think so, unanimous. Don't everybody get excited. Oh, boy. I will accept. It's a hard job. Thank you.
Do we have any other nominations for Vice President? If not, we'll entertain a motion for Mr. Crawford to be Vice President.
Second.
So we have a motion by Ms. Scott.
Second
by Mr. Davis. All in favor, say aye.
Seven yes.
Were you going to vote for yourself, Mr. Crawford?
I'm thinking of staying. Oh. No, yes.
Seven yes.
Seven yes, Lisa. Next, we have clerk for the board. We're going to open nominations for clerk.
You're faster than me.
Mr. Allison, you decline?
I will nominate Ms. Scott.
Ms. Scott, would you accept or decline?
I'll accept.
Ms. Scott will accept. Do we have any other nominations for clerk to the board? No other nominations. We will entertain a motion for Ms. Scott to be the clerk of the board. Motion by Mr. Boom. Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Susan. You got it right this time. Seven yes, Lee. It only took us three trials.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have nominations for trustee representative to the Special Education Council. Do we have any nominations? We have a nomination, Mr. Fleury. Do you accept? Okay, Mr. Fleury accepts. Do we have any other nominations? With no other nominations, do we have a motion to accept Mr. Fleury as a trustee representative? We have Mr. Davis with a motion. Do we have a second? Mr. Allison, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Seven yes. So Lisa, maybe next year will be smoother, huh?
No. It's only once a year.
Okay, so the next agenda item is set time, date, and place of the regular meetings. That's our, I think, page one. Do we have a motion to accept the time, dates, and place of the regular meetings?
I move to accept
the motion made by Mr. Allison. Do we have a second?
Second
by Mr. Fleury. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Seven yes. Number three, we have appoint superintendent as secretary to the Board of Trustees. Do we have a motion for appointment of the superintendent as secretary?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Davis. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Allison.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Number 4, authorize the superintendent and designee to sign warrants, contracts, and other documents. I'll entertain a motion. Is that Mr. Boom?
Allison.
Oh, Mr. Allison, excuse me. Mr. Allison, motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Mr. Crawford, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Next, we have comments from board members. Ms. Scott?
I would just like to say that I had an opportunity to be a chaperone for the small business class at Marysville High School, and we took a walk from Marysville High School to Ellis Lake. I was very concerned until I made it to the stoplight and I was able to catch some rest, so catch my breath. But anyway, we had a very exciting time, and that small business class is, they're awesome. I mean, when you see them stop and take a picture of a bird or a nest or a duck or whatever, and they get so excited about it. So, but I would just like to say I had a wonderful time on that field trip with them. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to report on a couple of school visits. Myself, Ms. Scott, and Mr. Fleury made it to several schools, and I'll just report on Alboga and Yuba Gardens. And it was a rainy day, and so you got to see just a different perspective of how staff and the students handle that. And so it was a really interesting. Alboga was in the middle of a big award assembly, and everybody was excited about that. And the staff I spoke to were praising their new play equipment that's been installed out there. And of course, there's always more to do. Yuba Gardens was a totally different experience. It's seriously overcrowded. And that's what was evident both in the play area and the cafeteria. So there's a lot of challenges on that campus, but the staff are handling it and doing the best they can with it. We were able to listen to their band, who were practicing their Christmas music, and it was just fascinating to hear the practice and the interaction of the teacher. And they mentioned that one of the students had been emphatic, saying that's what he came to school for, was the band. So I just wanted to highlight the opportunities that visiting the campuses provides. The one thing that was kind of exciting was that the cafeteria manager there had been awarded the Cafeteria Manager of the Year by some organization. And she was so excited. And just beaming in that little bitty kitchen, working their tail off with that great staff for those kids. Thank you.
Mr. Allison?
Okay. I think I broke it. I really wasn't going to say anything. But listening to Mr. Davies talking about, you know, music in the schools, you know, thinking about being in San Diego and watching that band play, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, music in the schools is so important. Fine arts in the schools is so important. And I'm really glad that we are getting back on a bandwagon. Oh, that was a kind of a, didn't mean to do that. But we're moving in the right direction. And the whole district seems to be going in the right direction. But anyways, I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
Mr. Boom?
I don't have much to say. I just want to thank the rest of the board for allowing me to be your president last year. Congratulations, Mr. Rasmussen. Look forward to this year. Thank you for doing that. And wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And we'll see you after the new year.
Yeah.
Mr. Fleury?
This morning, the Lions Club did the stockings for the preschools for Linda, Oliverst, Ella, and Cedar Lane. And Mr. Jones came with three students. One of them actually is not even going to be at South Lyndhurst, and he just wanted to volunteer. And Mr. Jones helped load those stockings, get them all ready to go. And some of the Lions thought he was an advisor. They were shocked when they realized he was the principal and stayed right there to help. And I admire him. That was what I call going above and beyond. The concerts, we had the parade downtown and the Oliverst parade. The bands looked good. The music looked good. They were doing a good job. And again, as someone said, the music in our school is very important. And I hear that in the parades, that people are glad that we've got it. I saw our ROTC out there, and I talked to some of the kids. They're very proud that that is back in. I've got to meet the instructor now. It's a very good one. At CSBA was a great conference, and I came away with five of you went, and I am very thankful the board that I served on. You always hear when you're interacting with the whole state from LA to North, I am so thankful for the board I serve on, and we do not have the drama some of those boards have. It's unbelievable. And CSBA is working hard there. One thing their goal is, they're going to be looking at charters, not the charter we have, but the for-profit charters, because some of the districts are really in trouble because the for-profit charters have come in and are raping their budget that is going for the students, and they're losing a lot of money. And CSBA is working very hard to get legislation and make them accountable for this.
Mr. Crawford?
I was once again fortunate enough to attend the A Honor Roll and the Honor Roll in general at Kynoch School. I really like the way they include all the children, invite all the parents. The cafeteria was filled, and just a real festive feeling and a great feeling. And then to follow up, the fifth grade will have their reading awards, I believe, this Thursday. And once again, I think it's important that it's how many books, it's based on how many books the children read, and the benefits that they gain from reading them and how many they read. It's just great. And on a side note, two of the middle schools are having Santa Claus and a breakfast. And if it wasn't for many of the clubs, many of the members up here now are having breakfast. It's this Saturday for with pancakes and bacon and having Santa Claus there. And I still think I'm allowed to say Santa Claus, huh?
Yeah.
Speaking of Santa Claus, I took my year and a half old grandson to see Santa today. And for 20 minutes, he raised hell. And it got so bad, I dropped a dime on Santa. I said, please, just one pitcher. And I never got the pitcher, and I didn't get my dime back either. So that's part of, that's a neat part of being a grandpa, too.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wow.
Follow that.
Yeah. So, actually, I would just like to take a quick moment and actually apologize to board and staff for missing the last board meeting, but my wife and I had the privilege to go down and welcome my youngest son back from deployment. So we got to see some time and see him come back in, and we were really glad we were able to do that. So thank you. So opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening, everybody. There's an issue going on in the district that is affecting everybody, and it's the new thing about whatever rule came out in regard to our yard duty folks. And I just wanted to share with you some of the impact that I've seen myself and that I've had people tell me about. I am the president for the Teachers Association, and I'm not here to bargain anything about our classified, but it does affect our students and our communities and our teachers. Just this morning, getting to my school, we have a spot that has a crossing guard normally from our parking lot onto the sidewalk by our cafeteria. Normally we have a yard duty person there very early in the morning, making sure that the cars stop so that the kids can cross, and it runs very smoothly. I always feel a little bit guilty because they stop the cars for me too, so I run. This morning when I got there, there wasn't anybody. And the parents dropping off their kids, it's kind of hard to explain, but there's a parking lot where they drop them off, and then that's separated. There's a little crossing walk that gets to the sidewalk then. And the cars pull up, drop off the kid, the other cars are behind them waiting. That car drives off, the next one drops off their kid. And as the children get dropped off, they have to walk across that spot. And this morning there was nobody there to stop the cars that are coming through near our bus lane, which we don't have a bus. And the kids are used to just being able to pop out of the car and walk on across, and the parents feel like everything is the same. Why would it be different? Because they haven't heard anything about this. So I stopped and set my things down and did the crossing walk duty for a while. And then our secretary came out, because she's the one that's been taking over, but new students had been getting enrolled that morning, and a parent had an issue that she was in dealing with. So it's just in so many small ways made us shorthanded. Our flag salute this morning, we always have a couple of kids holding the flag, and after the flag salute and the song, which our students think that you have to sing, it's a grand old flag after you pledge, so if they ever come here, they're going to expect you guys to sing right after you pledge, just to let you know. So, but after it was over, all the students are going with their teachers, and the two kids holding the flag are still holding the flag, because there's only one person now in the morning, and she was busy with an incident with a student, and so there was nobody to take the flag and put it away. But, you know, we dealt with it. We're dealing with them, but there's all these little unexpected things that are having impacts in our school because of that situation. And now that it's changed and the requirement is that you have a high school diploma or equivalent, there are people in our district who have been doing an excellent job for a very long time with yard duty who do not have that. But they know our students, they're familiar with them, they have the experience, they know who needs to be a little bit more gently talked to compared to who needs to have the stern voice. Those people are now, right here before Christmas, out of a job. It's sad, it's not right. It would be nice if the application had that the requirement be that they have a high school diploma or equivalent and or an amount of experience in that position. There's a person I know who is not applying because they don't have that GED, and they're embarrassed. They're incredibly embarrassed about it, and they are not willing to say, look, I've had this experience, please consider me. They're now working on getting their GED, but they're out of a job. So I felt like you guys needed to be aware of that and see if there's anything we can do to help that situation. And really, that's all I had to say about MUTA kind of stuff, but since everybody's talking about the holidays and music in schools, if you'd like to have a preview of what it's like for children to sing without having a lot of the music training that we're now starting to get, you could come see our kindergartners at Edgewater on Friday at 10 o'clock. They do a great bate bate chocolate and a Feliz Navidad and a Jingle Bells and a Merry Christmas, and they'll tell you to silence your cell phones, I hope. Other grade levels are doing things too, but you know they've had training, so they're professional. Thank you.
We have Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. We have no public comment cards. Superintendent's report.
I just wanted to thank Ashley, Duane, and Angela for being part of Cabinet the last few months and for coming to board meetings. I know that's just one more thing to do, but I truly appreciate your input and your willingness to be a part of the team, even if it is for just a short period of time. You may notice there's some snowflakes hanging from the ceiling here. That's the last remaining bit of decorations from an extraordinary Christmas party that the district office held this year, and business services put on an amazing event, and this was just part of the decorations. So great job. We do rotate it through the various departments. We're a little concerned because it's us and personnel next year. So we're thinking they look great and probably should stay all year long. So, and with that, I hope you all have a wonderful time off. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you, Dr. Todd. Next, we have the approval of minutes. If there's no additions or deletions of the minutes for November 14th, we'll entertain a motion. We have a motion by Mr. Davis. Second by Mr. Fleury. Mr. Boom and myself will abstain from not being there. So all in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Aye. Three. Looks like. Five yes. Five yes. And two abstentions. So next we have the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone would like to have pulled off of the consent agenda? If there's no items to be pulled, we'll entertain a motion. Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Scott. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Seven yes. So looking, let's see, new business. New business number one, we have child development program. Resolution 2017-18/10, authorizing the child development program to request school closure credits. Mrs. Woods?
Good evening. Randy, you summed that up perfectly for me. Basically, I'm just
requesting an approval or a resolution authorizing credit for the school closure that we incurred during the Cascade Fire, which will equivalent to about 70 days of enrollment for our Yuba Feather Preschool, which for Yuba Feather Preschool is a lot. 70 days adds up, so that's what this is for.
Any other questions or discussion? We'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor signify by saying aye or raise your hand.
Aye. Thank you.
Seven yes. Thank you, Kathy. Business services, number one. We have resolution 2017-18/11, withdraw from membership in school's excessive liability fund, SELF. Mr. Hodson.
Yeah, good evening. So essentially we have excess insurance through NICSIG, our immediate supplier, and then we go from there to SAFER and then SELF. The trouble with SELF is the school's excess liability fund. Over the last handful of years, their net position has declined considerably. About 2014, they had about $32 million in net position positive, and in last year it was about $3.5 million. And as they've been losing net position, they're also increasing rates to try to get themselves healthy again. Those rates have increased significantly the last couple years. So it is incumbent upon each of the districts that are part of NICSIG to give NICSIG the authority to leave to negotiate better rates. And if I were a betting man, I suspect that they will, and they will probably go with SAFER, which is the current provider we have for the 1 to 5 million. So this essentially allows NICSIG to then make an arrangement with a long-term carrier. So it's in the district's best interest to give them that authority.
Any questions or discussion? We'll entertain a motion. Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Do we have a second?
Second
by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Seven yes. So business services number two, the 2017-18 first interim budget. Mr. Hodson.
Thank you again, Mr. President, Mr. President Emeritus, members of the board, superintendent. Thank you for coming to this. I'll try to be quick. I know I am the last presentation between this and departing. I want to, before I start, as I've been here now for a handful of months, and this is a great opportunity to just talk a little bit about the amount of just phenomenal work that's been done by the people in my division. This, you know, this is 170 pages or so of data, and every number here is only as good as the work that goes into it. And having been other places, I don't always have the confidence I have in this data that I do with this. And it's a credit to them who don't only just make great snowflakes, but they do great work. And to even broaden that out a little bit farther, if I can, you know, tip my hat to our HR folks, our position control is remarkable. In other places where they just throw FTEs at things, and we get surprised at first interim. First interim becomes very important. It's a chance to correct something before it gets too bad. This, we don't have that problem here. And that's really a good news story, and probably the number one takeaway I'd ask you to take from my comments here today. So I'll try to speed through these. You've seen this before. This is our cycle. There is one missing step in here that is not a formal part, and that is our revision when we do we go from estimated actuals to unaudited actuals. But here we are doing the first interim. This is really an opportunity to restate what we think our budget forecast will be. We don't redo our priorities, but things change. When you do your budget back in June, you see everything from our revenue to what we project our expenses will be as more students show up and we have to add FTEs or adjust those, et cetera. This is an opportunity to make those changes, and more importantly, and what we'll ask of the board is to approve that this is a budget in which we are not going to go bankrupt. So you'll be approving a successful budget. The next slide. Here we go. Here are the changes that you'll see, the significant ones. You see that we got some other state revenue, about $1.4 million. Most of that was one-time money. And then for other local revenue, a couple of things there. We got a rebate for a bus we had turned in and paid for initially, but then we got the reimbursement back, and also some E-rate funding. You've seen this as well. The takeaway here, and especially if you include our restricted portion, that over 75% of our money goes into personnel, and that's a great thing. It's what we do, but it also then ties our hands in leaner times and takes away some of our flexibility. I want to go to the next one here. This is the differences between what we had done back in June and the budget proposed then and the first interim. A couple of big changes there. Salaries were not done negotiated with our classified folks, and so you see a change there, and that also includes we added 6 permanent bus driver positions, and so that would strike there. You see $2.7 million under books and supplies. That is largely carryover at the sites. And capital outlay is increased by $2.1 million for things the board has seen already. The Edgewater Elementary Restroom, the LHS Culinary Program that we talked about earlier today in the study session.
Excuse me, Mr. Hodson, if
sure.
I may. On the previous slide, certificated salaries, does that include administrators or just the teaching?
Yes,
staff?
It goes basically by administrators that are classified. So Dr. Todd's would be in there and mine would be under certificate, or vice versa.
Classified.
Yes.
Thank you.
So it based on whether you're a PERS or a STERS employee is where that falls. Great question. Okay, so taking a look at the variance here, you'll see that we have increased the adopted budget ending fund balance by $4.8 million. There's ongoing costs of $1.3, the salaries of things that eat, as we say, and then some changes for additional costs that we spend. That gives you a net of negative $1.7 for this year. Now, it's probably worth spending just a second to talk about that, in that remember, there's the step that I alluded to a minute ago where we didn't do the unaudited actuals. So when we did an estimate in June, a lot of things that didn't get spent end up being corrected in the unaudited actuals, but they don't show up here. And so in reality, if you were to look, and you'll see this on page 13 of your book, which I'm sure you spent hours and hours of fascinating reading because it's phenomenal stuff. But if you look to where we started, the fund balance, beginning balance in the adopted budget was $20 million, and you'll see even with this negative 1.7 quote-unquote deficit, we're still ending our projections with $22.8 million. So again, most of what you see as a deficit is really a result of the timing from one year to another. So I don't want to alarm the board that we're running this ship aground without any oversight. Here's our multi-year projections. Again, this year now shows a negative $1.7 million balance for the year. And then in future years, we go to $2.6 and $2.1 million respectively. So those. Now, a couple of things looking forward. This one time, as we talked about, the expenses that we're incurring this year are not recurring, and it's important that we distinguish between one-time costs and those costs that are going to be ongoing and become an impact to your future health. So we do show a surplus in the future years, but a couple things that are always worth remembering. One is that these are forecast revenues, and in a state that is so dependent upon really three major taxes, and the primary of those is personal income tax, when the economy is good in the state, we're boom, and when it goes bad, we contract very quickly. So while we show a surplus, there is no guarantee of that, and we've been talking about the possibility of recession for years, and it continues to sort of get pushed off, and that's a phenomenal thing and a good news story, but we should be cautious of that. The second thing is, if you look at some long-term trends, the PERS and STERS costs, for one, and then COPs, if you were to add each of those, and I have the individual figures in there, that represents about $7 million that we'd be paying today. So instead of telling you about my $2.6 million projection surplus next year, we'd be talking about a $5 million deficit next year. So it would behoove us to be cognizant of that in our long-term planning. And then lastly, in January, the governor will present his next budget. And one fear that I would have of this is that if you look at other states around the other districts around the state, those with low unduplicated counts are really struggling. You see that in salary negotiations and going to impasse and the like. You see that with some districts going into receivership. There's a number of folks now that are starting to really question the specifics of LCFF. And when Governor Brown leaves office here this next year, there's a lot of supposition that LCFF itself will come under attack and that percentage will change. And as a district that benefits from LCFF, that would be a risk to us. And if they were to change that formulation, we could end up then losing some in that. So something that keeps me up at night. And so with that, I promised to make it brief, and I didn't really fulfill my promise. You let the geek bean canner get up here with a microphone. It's hard to stop me. So questions?
Do we have any questions or further discussion? We'll entertain a motion for the 2017-18 first interim budget report.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
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 Seven yes.
Seven yes.
And before the board leaves, just make sure that you all see Lisa. You need to sign some documents.
We do have a couple of papers in closing. So I think this one went to Ms. Scott, and I think this was Mr. Fleury, to close the meeting in honor of a couple of folks. Thank you. Mr. Fleury?
I'd like to close the meeting in for Louise Maher. She taught at McKinney School when I was administrator in the 80s. That was the first teacher I ever hired. She did yearbook. Then she went on to the high school, and I think she may have had you when she was at McKinney, yes. Long dedicated teacher, was a single parent, drove from Citrus Heights, would leave at 4:30 in the morning to be here. Very dedicated employee at both McKinney and Marysville, and the funeral is going to be Friday, and several of Marysville people are going to go to that.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Meeting adjourned.